There'll be plenty of people in the back seat, which often happens when I'm driving the family away, saying, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? That's natural. But, you know, our path back to budget balance is very similar to that.
We're not there yet, but we're not going to take shortcuts and put the passengers at risk. A holiday road trip was Scott Morrison's metaphor when unveiling the mid-year budget update known as MAIFO today. Standing there with the Treasurer in announcing a $37 billion deficit was the Finance Minister, Matthias Cormann, and he joins me now. Minister, thanks for your time.
Good to be here.
The Abbott hockey pledge, a pledge you made as well, of a strong surplus of 1% of GDP by 2023-24 has been dropped. Why?
That is actually not a new development. We've always been very careful in the lead up to the last election and since then. That is Tony Abbott, Joe Hockey, Malcolm Turnbull, Scott Morrison. We've always said that we would get the budget back to surplus as soon as possible, obviously based on information available back in 2013. That was achievable within a certain time period. Since then, there's been a range of additional and unexpected global economic headwinds. There's been a significant deterioration in our terms of trade. The price for our most important commodity export, our biggest export earner, iron ore, went from $120 a tonne when we came into government to $48 a tonne by the time of the budget earlier this year, and has further deteriorated and now has a three in front of it. Obviously, these sorts of things do have flow-on consequences in the economy and do have flow-on consequences on revenue. But all things considered, given those additional headwinds since the budget, given the additional fall in our terms of trade and in our commodity prices, it is actually a very good indication of the progress that we've made, heading in the right direction now, that the budget position continues to improve over the forward estimates, the underlying cash balance continues to improve every year over the forward estimates.
Sure, but some observers say you're putting politics ahead of economic necessity. Chris Richardson from Deloitte Access Economics, a really respected economist, says these are not big bucks being saved. Others have called the savings in this MAIFO as minuscule, and your general strategy as just not cutting it in terms of shifting that budget trajectory.
Well, I got to say, I have not heard him say that the government is putting politics ahead of economic policy. In fact, I've heard him make a very balanced and much more nuanced assessment of where, obviously, the Australian economy is at and where the Australian government's budget is at. But the truth is that we are an economy in transition, that we are dealing with significant falls in our terms of trade, the biggest falls in our terms of trade in about 50 years. We are transitioning from significant resource investment-driven growth to broader drivers of economic activity. And yes, there are some challenges along the way, but we are actually performing rather well as an economy in that context.
Does this mean, though, you're going to enter next year, which is really an election year? Do you enter that election framework with no intention of any big spending promises going into that campaign?
Well, our intention is to continue as we have over the last 2 years, and that is to impose a fiscal discipline on ourselves where any decision taken by the government, which has a negative impact on the budget bottom line, is more than offset by related decisions to improve the budget bottom line so that the overall effect of policy decisions by the government is adverse, budget neutral. And I mean, that is a discipline that we have imposed on ourselves ever since we came into government. It's a discipline that we have been able to maintain in this budget update today. From time to time, there is a need for unexpected additional expenditure. For example, we're having to spend nearly $900 million to accommodate 12,000 additional Syrian refugees into Australia and permanently settle them in Australia. Now, we have been able to offset that increase in expenditure by spending reductions in other areas. We have to spend about $621 million more because we have listed additional drugs for, in particular, cancer treatment on the pharmaceutical benefit scheme. So we've been able to pay for that by finding efficiencies in other parts of the health system. So, I mean, that is the discipline that we've imposed on ourselves so far, and it's a discipline that we will continue to impose ourselves moving forward until such time as the budget is back in balance and ultimately, in strong surplus.
You've lowered assumptions of the iron ore price from $48 to $39 a tonne. That'll cost the budget $7 billion. But are you confident that's all it will be? I mean, back in May, you assumed $48 a tonne, and we've just seen it hit $37.
Well, your description of that is not entirely accurate. When you say we assume, I mean, we're using a technical assumption. The truth is that nobody knows what will happen to the price of iron ore in the weeks and months ahead. Hopefully, it'll be better than what is underpinning our revenue forecast. But the truth is that the methodology on in terms of the technical assumption we use is the same. We look at the average price over the previous four-week period, and that is what is used in the formula to assess the flow-on effect on government revenue. Now, is that a precise prediction of what is likely to happen? No, it isn't. But it is the best method available in the circumstances, and of course, it is openly and transparently disclosed in the budget papers. And people can obviously factor that into their assessment of where things are likely to head moving forward.
On RN Drive, my guest is the Finance Minister, Matthias Cormann. My EFO's been delivered today. You've probably picked this up, and a much bigger deficit than expected. 0418-226-576 is our number. You can also tweet us at RN Drive. The other big drag on revenue is the tax take. Do today's figures make it harder to sell future tax cuts or revenue-neutral tax reform, which is what you've been arguing for?
Not at all.
I mean, it's clear now that we have both a spending problem and a revenue problem, don't we? We have problems on both sides.
Well, and the mistake that you're making is that you assume that increasing taxes is going to be the resolution to having lower than anticipated revenue on the back of below-trend growth. The truth is, in order to strengthen revenue flows, what we need to do is strengthen economic growth, not to increase overall taxes in the economy. Yes, we do have to have a more growth-friendly tax system, which means that we've got to change the tax mix to ensure that our tax system is as efficient and the least distorting possible in the economy. But if you increase taxes overall, you will actually reduce economic growth moving forward, and that will obviously have a negative effect on government revenue from economic growth. So the mistake, it would be a mistake to conclude that because there is lower than expected revenue on the back of a slightly lower than anticipated growth, that the solution to that is to increase taxes. No, the solution to that is to continue to implement growth-friendly policies, as we have done over the last 2 years. I mean, can you imagine the position we would be in if we had not got rid of the carbon tax and the mining tax, if we had not taken that burden off business, if we had not reduced the red tape costs for business by $2 billion a year, if we had not pursued an ambitious free trade agenda, if we had not pursued an ambitious infrastructure investment program, the situation right now would be worse. And of course, now we are also rolling out our science and innovation agenda. We're focusing on how we can make our tax system more growth-friendly, all part of our effort to strengthen growth, which, of course, will lead to increases in revenue.
Minister,
in a good way.
If I can just turn you to some of the specific cuts in today's MyEFO. The AMA says the axing of the bulk billing incentives for pathology and diagnostic imaging services will increase the health cost burden for Australian families, specifically that the poorest and the sickest will be hit the hardest. And they say it's basically a co-payment by stealth. In a moment, I'll be speaking to Brian Aller from the AMA about that. Are you prepared for another fight with doctors? And is this your way of introducing a co-payment without being honest about it?
Well, I mean, if that is what Brian Aller has said, and I haven't heard him say
then
that would be quite wrong. I mean, essentially what we're doing in relation to diagnostic imaging services, for example, is to align the bulk billing incentive payment arrangements with those that apply to GP services.
Bill Shorten says you're going after cancer patients, and the Consumer Health Forum says the pathology savings could dissuade patients from having important tests. Are they the best areas to get cuts in health?
Well, let's just go back to basics. It was the Howard government that introduced the bulk billing incentive payment for GP services, and the Howard government provided those to concession card holders, to patients with a concession card, and to patients who are children under the age of 16 years. And when the Gillard government expanded the bulk billing incentive payments to diagnostic imaging and pathology, they applied it across the board. What we are doing is essentially, in relation to diagnostic imaging, making those arrangements consistent with the arrangements that are in place for GP services, something that I would have thought the AMA would have welcomed.
Sure, but ultimately some patients will have to pay more, or will put off some patients from getting those tests, won't it? That's inevitable.
Well, actually, we don't agree. I mean, so in relation to pathology, right now, our billing rates are nearly 90%. There is significant competition in that market, and we believe that that is a payment that is not actually delivering the value to patients across Australia. And you've got to also look at where that saving has been directed to. I mean, we are increasing expenditure on cancer treatment-related drugs on the pharmaceutical benefit scheme by $621 million. And obviously, the $650 million efficiency by aligning, for example, the benefit, the bulk billing payment arrangements for diagnostic imaging with those in place for GP services already, we are able to make that saving to pay for that very important additional expenditure in the health system.
But, Minister, can you guarantee that all patients who need these tests will get them?
Well, I can absolutely guarantee that every patient in Australia who needs these tests will get them, and I can also guarantee that there is no need for any patient to be worse off. I mean, this is a bonus payment on top of the Commonwealth paying 100% of the fee as a rebate. So not only is the Commonwealth paying 100% of the fee to those providers, there is an additional bonus payment on top of that in relation to GP services that is targeted towards patients on concession cards and children under the age of 16 in relation to diagnostic imaging for reasons that are not entirely clear. But this is something that the previous government applied across the board. We don't think that that is appropriate targeting of government expenditure. We think it is more important to invest that money to pay for important cancer treatment-related drugs that we have added onto the PBS.
And on the welfare crackdown, you want to save almost $2 billion over 4 years. That is an incredible amount of money to be saving just from a crackdown. What will that involve exactly?
That? Well, how can you say that?
Well, because I know a little bit about the welfare area, as you know, and I find that a very high number. What exactly will it involve? Who will you find that you haven't found yet?
Well, Patricia, I've got to say I'm really intrigued that you say that's a really high number. It's certainly a number that helps balance. It certainly helps to put the budget on a better foundation for the future. But you've got to put it into the context of the overall social security and welfare-related payments. And over the forward estimates period, when we believe we can achieve that saving through what is essentially an integrity measure, the federal government will pay more than $662 billion in relevant payments. And so this saving is less than 0.3%, less than 0.3%. And we believe that this can be achieved by better income data matching with data that is provided both to Centrelink and to the ATO and other sources. Because in the end, it's important for everyone that is reliant on these sorts of welfare benefits and payments that people receive these benefits within the rules and consistent with the way the system is meant to work. And by improving the integrity of welfare payment arrangements and by achieving an efficiency of 0.3%, obviously we are able to direct that money into other higher priority areas of spending.
Minister, many thanks for your time and good luck with the baby. I know that you're expecting another baby very soon, which is why you're in Perth. Good luck.
All right, good to talk to you. Thank you.
And that is Matthias Cormann. He's the Federal Finance Minister speaking to me from Perth. You're listening to RN Drive. I'm Patricia Carvelis. Well, you've heard it there. A number of cuts that will be delivered as a consequence of today's MyEFO. Some of the big ticket items, a crackdown on welfare fraud to save almost $2 billion over 4 years. There have been many crackdowns on welfare fraud, but the government thinks it can save another $2 billion. Also, $472 million will come out of the federal funding for aged care. And another big ticket item coming out, something that the AMA is very unhappy about. We'll be speaking to the AMA in a moment about why they're so unhappy with the health cuts today. But I'd love to get your messages to our number here, 0418 226 576. Text me. You can also tweet us at RNDrive.